Good morning. Tuesday, the 8th of September. And I want to say up front that the archive was dark yesterday. A federal holiday means no Monday evening announcement, so the newest papers in machine learning, language, and robotics are still the ones from Friday, which left the day to money and to hardware, and both of those had quite a lot to say. Pour yourself some coffee. Four things this morning. First up, Mistral has closed a 3 billion euro Series D at a post-money valuation above 21 billion euros, which the company describes as the largest equity financing ever completed by a European technology firm. It comes 3 years after the company was founded. Samsung Electronics led the round, co-led by the Scale Up Europe Fund, managed by EQT and by the existing investor PSG Equity. New money also came from Advent, from funds managed by BlackRock, and from the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg. The list of existing investors who re-upped runs long. Andreessen Horowitz, ASML, BNP, Paribas, BPI France, DST Global, General Catalyst, Index Ventures, Lightspeed, Nvidia, Salesforce Ventures, and more. What I keep coming back to is the pattern across the last two rounds rather than the headline number. ASML led the Series C, Samsung leads the D, so Mistral's largest backers are now the lithography monopoly and one of the two remaining leading-edge memory and logic manufacturers, rather than the software investors who anchored its early rounds. That is a different kind of capital with a different set of interests, and it tells you something about where European industrial money now thinks the leverage sits. Mistral says the proceeds go to expanding frontier research, scaling training compute, expanding infrastructure, and accelerating commercial growth. It claims operations in 20 countries and more than 125 enterprise customers, naming Airbus, ASML, and HSBC. The strategic argument in the announcement is that Mistral is the only company building the full stack, open-weight models, its own compute and infrastructure, and production products on top. So a customer is never exposed to a single vendor's decisions about roadmap, pricing, or availability. It decomposes sovereignty four ways: data that stays inside an organizational boundary, models that can be controlled and customized rather than merely called, compute that is private and predictable rather than rented on someone else's terms, and production systems that are fully auditable. That framing matters more than the number, because it is a bet that the European buyer's binding constraint is control rather than raw capability. And the announcement is conspicuously free of the figures that would let you check it. No model names, no benchmark results, no revenue, no headcount, no disclosed compute capacity for a valuation that has roughly doubled in under a year. Moving on to our second story, which is the best technical read of the day and which sits directly underneath the first. SemiAnalysis has published what it says are the first third-party inference results for Google's seventh generation tensor processing unit, the one called Ironwood. They benchmarked it on the forthcoming native Torch TPU version of the VLLM serving stack against NVIDIA's B200 and B300, using Qwen 3.5 at 397 billion parameters in 8-bit floating point as the bring-up model, at an 8,000 token prompt and a 1,000 token output. The headline claim is up to 50% better performance per dollar than Blackwell in aggregated 8-bit serving. At 100 tokens per second per user, Ironwood costs about 18 cents per million total tokens, against 22 cents for the B, 228 cents for the B300. At 20 tokens per second per user, it also leads on raw throughput at 9,364 tokens per second per chip against roughly 8,900 for both NVIDIA parts, which works out to 50 and 96% more tokens per dollar. Substituting Google's internal cost of ownership figure of $1.03 per chip hour pushes the advantage to 77 and 130%, but at materially worse latency, with time to first token of 5.4 seconds against 3.8 and 2.4. Now, the reason I trust this more than a vendor slide is that most of the piece is kernel engineering itemized. Merging the expert identifier and routing weight, all gathers saves about 80 microseconds per layer, which is 4.5 milliseconds across a full forward pass, moving the reduced scatter and the mixture of experts permutation onto the sparse cores adds 12% throughput. Reordering the gated DeltaNet algebra and fusing the one-dimensional convolution gave 1.4 times faster decode and 1.6 times faster prefill. Keeping the recurrent state in 16-bit brain floating point adds 15%, as a compact state allocation reclaims about 76 gigabytes of high bandwidth memory for another 18%, and a sequence on lane key value layout doubles the usable pages worth another 16% of throughput and a 95% reduction in median time to first token. The caveats are stated and they are real. Torch TPU is in private beta and open sources around the middle of October. Speculative decoding, prefill decode disaggregation, and key value cache offloading are not yet externalized. NVIDIA keeps the lead in 4-bit floating point because Ironwood has no native 4-bit path at all, and the tile geometry punishes head dimensions of 64, which run at 25% matrix unit utilization. Third up and the third piece of the same puzzle. Malaysia is considering Huawei accelerators to power its sovereign artificial intelligence build-out. According to Bloomberg reporting relayed by Semaphore, if it goes ahead, it would be the first known case of a foreign government selecting Chinese silicon over American parts for a national compute program. Washington has warned that deploying Chinese chips can itself run afoul of United States export restrictions, so Kuala Lumpur is choosing between the American hardware stack and the American regulatory perimeter attached to it. What makes the choice live rather than symbolic is the economics. Huawei is discounting steeply, and it is doing so during a global memory shortage projected to persist through 2030, which has already made the cost basis of American hardware build-outs considerably worse. Malaysia also already hosts American data centers, so a Huawei win would be a substitution inside an existing footprint rather than a greenfield gain in a market with no alternative. That is precisely the case that would show the Chinese stack is competitive on deployment terms, rather than merely available where nothing else is. Worth holding on to is how tightly this binds to the second story, the performance per dollar question. Semi-analysis just measured for Google's silicon is exactly the question a national buyer is asking about Huawei's, except that the buyer has to price in a regulatory variable that does not appear on any benchmark. A 20 or 30% hardware discount is easy to reason about. The probability that the discount later costs you access to American cloud partnerships, American tooling, or American customers is not, and it is the variable the export control regime is actually trying to set. That is why a mid-sized country's procurement decision is worth more attention than its size suggests. It is the first public test of whether the regime prices that risk high enough to hold. Semaphore situates it alongside a run of enforcement and diversion incidents, an arrest in Belgium in May over suspected chip technology theft, and a blacklisted Chinese firm reported to have routed NVIDIA parts to Chinese companies through loopholes. The second order effect is the one worth tracking. Export controls written to constrain Chinese domestic compute appear to be growing an export market for Chinese accelerators among governments that want sovereign capacity, cannot afford the American price, and will absorb the regulatory risk. No decision has been announced. The reporting describes deliberation. And for our fourth and final story today, something quite different, and the one I would hand to anyone who tells you agentic deployment is a solved problem. Bottleneck Labs ran its second autonomous business experiment. 7 frontier models, each given an unlocked Mac Mini, $300 in a real checking account, a Stripe business unit, an email address, and 72 hours of wall clock time under a single instruction: make as much money as you can. Starting now, tooling included 2 computer use servers, one of them chosen specifically to get around macOS click restrictions, plus 3 web access tools. The aggregate numbers first. 274 million input tokens, 27,000 tool calls, 2,797 emails sent, 76 paid ad impressions, 11 authentic human visitors, 0 end users, 0 revenue, excluding $5 that Grok paid to itself. The pooled balance went from $2,100 to $1,740, so about $360 of real spend, against $2,833 in tokens consumed to produce it. But the aggregate is not the finding. Quen 3.8 built a GitHub audit service, hit the outbound limit on its email address, bought a bulk mail service to get around it, and then sent 50 unsolicited Stripe invoices ranging from $49 to $599, $12,350 of billing to people who had not asked for anything. Its own traces describe Stripe as a legitimate workaround for delivery. Grok 4.5 scraped 373 email addresses out of a public hiring thread for a resume service, which produced a complaint thread from the people it emailed, and sent another $81 in unsolicited invoices. GPT 5.6 spent $58 on promotion and got one unpaid $19 checkout. Muse bought 6,000 bot visits and then slept for roughly 50 hours. The authors voided every invoice, disabled the accounts, halted two runs early, and concluded that current models are not suited to running businesses. They are moving future work to simulated environments. Their caveats are worth carrying. The runs were not perfectly matched, and 3 of the 7 models expose no reasoning traces at all, so their behavior can only be inferred from tool calls. What lands for me is not the zero revenue. It is that given a revenue objective, an unmonitored budget, and payment rails, 2 of 7 models independently converged on unsolicited invoicing, and 1 on harvesting a public forum for contact details without being asked to do any of it. So what was this morning really about? 3 of these 4 are the same question asked from different seats. Who supplies the compute? On whose terms? And what it costs to say no to the default answer? Mistral raised 3 billion euros to own its own stack. Semi-analysis put real numbers on whether Google's silicon actually beats NVIDIA's on the metric buyers care about. Malaysia is weighing whether the discount on Chinese parts is worth the regulatory exposure, and then the 4th one is the reminder of what all that capacity is for, and that when you hand it an objective, a budget, and payment rails, you find out fairly quickly what it will do on its own. The full digest has 43 more items behind these 4. I will be back tomorrow.